we've been studying the book of Galatians now at Mount Lebanon for several months. Some of you may just be joining in, and you joined in at a good time. This is a good time, chapter number 5. And I'm going to say just a few things and we'll get started tonight. But Galatians chapter number 5. Now, I always want to encourage you to get your Bible. It doesn't matter what I say. What matters is what the Bible says. What matters is what God's Word says. And we should be like the Berean Christians. In Acts chapter number 17, the Bible said they searched the Scriptures daily where these things were so. What the Apostle Paul preached to them, they went, they searched it out, made sure he was telling them right. And so search the Scriptures. And we're going to be in Galatians chapter number 5 in just a few moments. Well, I don't think I have to announce this, but we will not be having our regular monthly business meeting tonight. Usually this is about the time of the month we would have our business meeting. We routinely postpone a business meeting for a month if we don't have anything pressing. And that's what we'll do this month, hoping and praying by next month we'll be back in church and be able to meet together, and things will be different then. So for right now, that's what we'll do. We're not going to have worry about our business meeting this month. This has been 1 month that we have been out of church. The last time we were in church, or the first time we were on Facebook, was March the 18th, I believe it was. So the Sunday before that was the last time we were in church. So it's been a month. You got to remember, March had 431 days in it, and then here we are already April 15th. So seems like it's been a long time. It's been a month that we've been doing this. You know, you should always try to look at the bright side of things. On the bright side of things, in a month, we've probably doubled our Wednesday night prayer meeting attendance. Now, we're getting people from all over the state of North Carolina. We've had listeners that I know of, or people that have watched as far away as California, Colorado. We have some friends in Colorado that's been watching that we were stationed with in England. So great for the opportunity for that. And I'm just so thankful for that. But here we are once again on Wednesday night, and it is April the 15th. We are going to be in Galatians chapter number 5. Now, quickly, let me mention this. I would like for everybody, but especially our church folks, to try your best to also get on where you can get the podcast. And so this is very easy to do. If you go to podbean.com, and I've put a link on Facebook, you can go to it from there. You can do this on your phone. It does not have video. It is audio only. But on podbean.com, if you download that app to your phone, you can get the Sunday and Wednesday night sermons on Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. You go there and you subscribe. Also this week, I have started a daily devotional. This is on another page on Podbean. It's called Blessings of Liberty, just like the old radio broadcast I used to have. Blessings of Liberty. And I started a daily devotion this week out of Psalms chapter number 23. And I intend to go, it'll be several weeks that I'll be able to do that. And so I intend to do that. And so I'd like for our church folks to get on two platforms. If something happened to Facebook and it went down because of so many people watching or whatever, we'd be able to still operate through a podcast. And so just have a little flexibility and to think ahead, you know, what might happen. Everything might go back to normal, and it may not. So I've rambled on long enough. I'm going to start in just a moment. If you have prayer requests, you can type them into the comment section at any time during the broadcast. And what I'm encouraging everybody to do is, when the broadcast is over, have prayer in your homes, whether you're by yourself, with your family, two or three. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So we encourage you to pray for everybody that types, "Hey, I'm watching," or "I have a special prayer request," or whatever that might be. Certainly, we want to remember one another in our prayers. We want to remember our lay, where we can come back together and open businesses and go back to work. And so let's really pray about that. All right, if you have your Bibles, Galatians chapter number 5. I'm going to read verses 4 down through verse number 6. We got through the first 3 verses last week. In fact, let me just go back and read verse number 1 down through verse number 6. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." And so chapter 5, verses 1 through 6, we got through the first 3 verses last week, and we're going to pick up in verse number 4 this week. Now, last week, we began the 3rd section. This has been our outline for the book of Galatians. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 is personal. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 is doctrinal. Chapter 5 and chapter number 6 are practical. And we asked the question last week, what does faith lived out in the life of a true Christian look like? What should our faith lived out here in the world, Monday through Sunday, you know, what should our lives look like? And the answer to that is faith lived out in our lives looks like Jesus. In our day-by-day walk, we should look like Jesus. We should live like the Lord Jesus Christ lived. Now, did the Lord Jesus Christ look religious? When he came to this world, when he began his earthly ministry, he did not take on the religious garb of the day. He did not look like the Pharisees. He did not look like the Sadducees. When he was walking down the road, you wouldn't look and say, "There comes a Pharisee. There comes a religious person." He did not look religious. He also did not look like the sinners and the publicans of his day. He came, he ministered to them, but he did not take on their actions, their attitudes. He fellowshiped with them in the aspect of ministering to them, witnessing to them, and he associated with them, but he didn't start looking and acting and talking like they did. What did the life of the Lord Jesus Christ look like? It looked like love in shoe leather, or we could probably more correctly say his life looked like love in sandal leather. You know, that's what they wore in those days. His life was a life of love lived out before a lost and a dying world that despised him and rejected him. But everywhere he went about doing good. He loved people. He had compassion on them. He met them where they were. Now, the Galatians, they had received the ministry of the Apostle Paul. They had been saved by the grace of God. They had been led by the Holy Spirit. But Paul begins to talk to them here about falling from grace. And that's what we're going to deal with tonight, this subject of falling from grace. What does it mean to fall from grace? Now, to fall from grace is not talking about losing one's salvation. But to fall from grace, and I'm going to show this to you from the Bible, to fall from grace is to begin to believe and lips are going to keep you. That is falling from grace. Now, let's look at verse number 4, and I'm going to take some time here because people get confused about all the time the subject of falling from grace. Verse number 4, the Bible said, "Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, like we said, being very careful. I want it to be a blessing. I want it to be a help to God's people. I never want to be guilty of leading someone astray. So the subject of falling from grace, what does the Bible mean when it talks about falling from grace? Can a person fall from grace? The answer to that question is yes. A person can fall from grace. A Christian, a saved person can fall from grace because look what Paul says here in verse number 4. He says to the Galatians who were saved, who had received the Holy Spirit, he says to them, for he says in verse number 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, do I believe someone can fall from grace? Yes, I do. And if you believe the Bible, you also believe that someone can fall from grace. Now, the problem or the misunderstanding about this is what exactly does that mean to fall from grace? Most people believe that it means to lose your salvation. It is not talking about losing your salvation. I'm going to point that out, and I hope you'll see that as we study this. This is not what it means. But most of the time, when you hear people talking about, I'm talking about people around, people in churches, religious people, when they're talking about the subject of falling from grace, most of the time, a person losing their salvation, this is not what it means. This is not what Paul is talking about when he is talking here and using the phrase. Now, let's read it again. He's talking to the Galatians, and he's telling them, and we've went over there what they have been doing, but he said, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Now, most people, when they're talking about falling from grace, and they're meaning it in the about somebody losing their salvation. When people are using it that way, they're usually talking about somebody that has fallen into some gross, terrible sin. And in this sin, they have fallen from grace, lost their salvation, turned their back on the Lord. There's a lot of different ways of talking about falling from grace. Something like breaking one of the top 10, committing adultery, killing somebody, stealing from someone, breaking one of the 10 commandments and falling into sin. People say, well, they've fallen from grace. But think about the Apostle Paul. He's writing to the Galatians. They were not guilty of being immoral. They had not fallen into some sin of some kind. They had not done that. What the Galatians were doing, the Galatians were trying to be moral. The Galatians were trying to be more strict in their religious life. They were trying to become law keepers. They had been saved. They had been brought into the liberty of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were going away from that. If you remember last week, Paul told them in verse number 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He's saying stand fast in the liberty that Christ has made you free. They were not falling into sin. They were trying to keep the law. They were trying to keep their salvation by keeping the law. They were trying to sort of help the Lord out by going back under and keeping that Old Testament law. They had turned from the teaching of salvation by grace through faith, plus nothing, minus nothing. They had turned from what the Apostle Paul had taught them at the very back under that Old Testament law, being circumcised, keeping the Sabbath day, keeping the Ten Commandments, all of those things. They were doing that to try to be justified by keeping the law. And so Paul tells them in doing that, they had fallen from grace. He's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about turning away from the truth of being saved by the grace of God and trying to go back under that Old Testament law to keep yourself or to save yourself. Now, you say, well, that was a long time ago, and we don't have Judaizers or legalizers today, although we do. We have people going around teaching and preaching, you got to keep the law in some form or fashion, or you got to do this, or you got to do that in order to be saved. Now, last weekend was Easter, and there was a lot of talk about Easter, TV, radio, you know, it was Easter. And a special time for Christians to celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I watched some different things about Easter, and there were some a lot of different religious groups on there. And, you know, a lot of them were saying good things. A lot of them were saying, you know, on Easter, Jesus died for our sins and the tomb is empty. But a lot of them are not trusting in that. You know, it sounds good to say those things, but in their theology, how they believe, how they practice, they're really not trusting in that. What they are actually trusting in, they're telling people, yes, Jesus came, Jesus died for our sins. You have to be baptized to go to heaven. You have to do some kind of work in order to go to heaven. You have to be baptized. You have to join our church. You have to be give money. You have to be a good person. You have to keep the Ten Commandments. You know, that's the same thing struggling with. They were trying to be justified, trying to go to heaven by keeping the law. They'd already been saved by the grace of Jesus, and do that in order to be saved. You know, there's a lot of people, and some of them may not even be saved to begin with. Maybe they're trusting just these works in order to get them to heaven. I'm telling you, that'll not get you to heaven. A lot of people have bicycle salvation. I heard a preacher on the radio years and years ago, and he was just preaching away. False preacher is what he was, but anyway, he was on there, and he was in a big way, and he was comparing being saved to riding a bicycle. And he said, I got on the bicycle with the Lord 50 years ago, and I've been pedaling ever since. You know, he's working his way to heaven. Don't go to heaven on a bicycle. If you did, you'd have to pedal, 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 but you don't go to heaven on a bicycle. You go to heaven by the grace of God. That is the whole thrust of Paul's message there. We're not saved by works. You cannot be justified by keeping the law of Moses. A lot of people have mountain climber salvation. I've heard people say, yeah, I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain and I'm climbing, I'm clawing, and I'm doing all these things in order to go to heaven. Well, you don't climb a mountain to go to heaven. You don't climb Jacob's ladder. You know, some people, they read that over in the book of Genesis and they think that ladder's for you to climb up by your own effort. Guess what? You don't climb up. Jesus came down. The Savior came down where we are. He died upon the cross for our sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day so we could be saved. We are not saved by working our way into heaven, by keeping our salvation some way. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 10, or Galatians chapter 3 and verse number 10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Listen, if you're going to get saved by keeping the law, then you have to keep the whole law. And if you don't keep the whole law, then you're cursed. You're condemned. And guess what? Nobody can keep the law. Nobody has ever kept the law except the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law. Moses, nobody has ever been saved. No Jew, no Gentile has ever been saved by keeping the law. And so the Apostle Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4, Christ is become of no effect unto you. For of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. We are either trusting Christ 100%, or something or someone else. And if it's something else or someone else for you, what we mean by that, we don't come to the Lord Jesus and make a deal for our soul. We don't come to the Lord and say, now, Lord, if you'll save me, I'll do this and this and this. That's not how it works. It's not part what the Lord does and part what we do. He has done it all. He did it on the cross of Calvary. We believe and we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this today as I was studying. We are in exactly, and when I say we, I mean all of us, everybody. We are in the exact same position as the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross. Maybe you heard about that this last Sunday, Easter Sunday. I'm sure that was a popular message in many pulpits. Well, they might have been the pulpit. People weren't in the pews, but the messages that went out talking about Jesus dying upon the cross, and there was three people on the cross that day, Jesus, and there were two thieves there. And we are exactly, we must come to the Lord in exactly the same way that the thief on the cross did. The thief on the cross, guess what? His chance was up. There was no coming down from the cross and, hey, if you'll give me another chance, I'll go out and I'll do better. A lot of people have that attitude, you know, I'll do better. I will reform. I will turn over a new leaf. Well, the thief on the cross, his chance is up. There's no doing better. He's condemned to die. And he was justly condemned to die because he had sinned. That was his own confession there upon the cross. And let me tell you, people say, well, you know, that's not right. I was telling somebody the gospel one time, sharing the gospel. I went all the way back to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter number 3, and Adam and Eve sinned, and because of their sin, the whole race was condemned, and we're all sinners, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the person I was talking to said, well, that's not fair. Well, fair or not, that's the way it is. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we're all like the thief on the cross. We're all condemned. And we're all condemned justly. We're sinners by birth, we're sinners by nature, and we're sinners by choice, just like the thief on the cross. The thief on the cross had nothing to offer. What's he going to do to be saved? It's too late for him. He's going to die shortly. He's not going to join a church. He's not going to do good works. He's not going to be baptized. He's not going to learn Bible verses. He's nothing. He has nothing to offer to the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's what the thief on the cross said. The one thief said, you know, if you're who you say you are, why don't you get us out of this mess? I'm paraphrasing there. But the thief that got saved, he said, dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? Hey, buddy, we're getting ready to die. That's what he said to the other thief. This is Luke chapter 23. In verse number 41, the Bible said, and we indeed justly, the thief on the cross said, you know what? We're getting what we deserve. We're criminals. We've sinned. We're having to pay for our sin. We're getting ready to die justly. He said, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. We're reaping what we've sown. That's what he said. But this man, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, has done nothing amiss. He knew the Lord Jesus Christ was different, and he had not sinned. He said, this man has not done anything wrong. And then the thief on the cross looked to Jesus and said in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. If you want to be saved, you're going to have to come to the Lord Jesus Christ just like the thief on the cross. You say, how did he come to Jesus? Well, he believed Jesus could save him. He may not have known a lot of theology. He may not have known a whole lot about anything, but I'll tell you this. He believed Jesus could save him. And let me tell you, you don't have to learn all 66 books of the Bible and graduate from Bible college to know that Jesus can save you. And he said, Lord. Boy, that's interesting. He said, Lord. The Bible says that if thou shalt call upon the Lord, thou shalt be saved. He knew he was God. He said, Lord, me, when thou comest into thy kingdom. He believed Jesus could save. Was going to come into his kingdom. I mean, all three of them are there on the cross. They're all getting ready to die. But this man saw something different in the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't see him dying. He saw him coming into his kingdom, which means even if he did die, he'd have to come to life again. You say, well, he didn't know much about the Bible. He knew more about the Bible than a lot of people know today. He said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That thief on the cross knew this. He knew he could not save himself. And let me tell you today, you cannot save yourself, and I cannot save myself. We've got to come just like the thief on the cross, believing with all of our heart that Jesus can save us, that he can change our lives, that he's alive, and he's Lord, by the way. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus, you know what he said to the thief on the cross? He said, well, I will if you'll get down and be baptized. That is not what he said. He didn't say, well, I'd like to save you, but you never joined my church. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said to him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. We've got to come in simple faith, believing Jesus can do what he said he was going to do, and then we can be saved. But it's not by keeping the law. And that is what Paul is saying over and over and over. This thief trusted totally in the grace of God. Man, I've got to hurry along. My son, I asked him if he was going to come to church tonight. You know, he's living down in the state. And he said that he would. And I said, I promise if you come, I'll have you out by 8. You can be home by 8. And so everybody's going to get home by 8 o'clock tonight. But seriously, verse number 5, we move on down. He's talking about falling from grace. Look what he said in verse 5. I love this. He said, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. We through the Spirit. This is a reference to the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we looking to the law for righteousness? No, we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I found this in an old book today. H.A. Ironside had this little poem in there. I don't know if it was part of a song or a poem or if he wrote it, but I wrote it down in my Bible. I thought it was so good. And it said this. It said, soon I'll pass this desert dreary. Soon will bid farewell to pain. Never more be sad or weary. Never, never sin again. Boy, I like that. Never, never sin again. The Bible says that we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. John says it like this. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Well, there's a land, there's a day, if you're a child of God, where we'll never more be sad or weary again. It talks about in verse number 6, righteousness again does not come by self-effort. It comes by the grace of God. By the grace of God, we are made righteous because of his righteousness. We are made righteous in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was the error of the Galatians. They came along and they said, well, okay, we're saved by grace. All our sins are forgiven. We've got a home in heaven. Now, let's earn it by keeping the law and being good enough. Look, if you're not good enough to save yourself, you're not good enough to keep yourself. Since we're doing, they've been saved, and now they're going to be good enough to keep their salvation. You cannot be good enough to keep your salvation. If salvation depended on effort, you would have lost it, and I would have lost it a long time ago. But the Bible says in verse number 5, we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Now, we're going to go down to verse number 6 quickly and look at that. If we cannot be good enough, we cannot be good enough to keep our salvation. Look what the Bible says in verse number 6. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Now, what is he saying? In Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew. That's what that is a reference to. It does not the most rigid law keeper that's ever walked the face of the earth. The Apostle Paul was a rigid law keeper. But the Apostle Paul writes after he gets saved in Jesus Christ, circumcision doesn't avail you anything. He doesn't save based on your race, sex, etc., etc., Jewishness, Gentile, whatever. He said uncircumcision. That was a reference to the Galatians as Gentiles, idolaters. They come out of idolatry. And he said in verse number 6, in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision. Your genetic history, whether you're Jew, whether you're Gentile, it avails you nothing. It gets you nowhere in Christ. But, well, what does work? He said, but faith which worketh by love. Faith which worketh by love. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what works. Faith works by love. What do you mean faith works by love? Well, if we go out here and live our Christian life before the world, we don't want to look like the Pharisees. We don't want to look like the publicans and the sinners. Our life ought to be lived by love. Our actions ought to be motivated by love. Our characteristics ought to be the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. We're going to get into that. Faith works by love. How does love work? Well, love works like this. If I had a child that was sick and the doctor told me and my wife, now you're going to have to take care of your child, we wouldn't say, man, that's a burden. I tell you, I just don't know if I've got time for that or not. We'd say, my child is sick. I love my child, and it would be no burden to take care of the child. I'll put it like this. I talked to my daughter today. She's got her daughter now, just over 6 months old. And I said, what have you been doing? She said, I've been changing a diaper. I said, I guess that falls on you now. You know, it takes a lot. She didn't say, you know, well, it's the law. You know, they passed a law. You gotta feed your children. You gotta change their diapers. You gotta take care of them. No, that's crazy. Why do you do these things? Why don't you have to? Why isn't there a law made that you have to do that? Because you do it by love. You do it because you want to. We who are saved by the grace of God. Why do we do what we do? We live the lives we live because we love Him who first loved us. We worship because we love Him. We go to church as people, and we love the other, you know, the all of God's family. Love it. All of that we do should be motivated by love. Faith works by love. We act. We refrain from some things because of love. Well, I'm not going to do that. I love the Lord. That would hurt the Lord. That would hurt His testimony. That would hurt, and you could just go on and on and on. But love is nothing that the law has to force you into. Now, I'm going to close. I appreciate you listening in tonight, but I want to say in closing, are you trying to go to heaven by working your way to heaven? You'll never be able to do that. You'll never be good enough. You've already messed up. You've already sinned and come short of the glory of God. Are you trying to go to heaven by staying on the right road, by climbing and biking and by self-effort? You've biblically fallen from grace. We're saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. It is not part law and part faith. It is all faith. It is all grace. There's an old song, and I had it in my mind today, and it goes like this, and I'm not going to sing, but part of the chorus says, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now. Do you know the best news in the whole wide world is the gospel of the grace of God? If you were getting ready to die, If you are condemned to die and hanging on a cross or in an electric chair or in a hospital bed, and you knew you were going to die shortly, you know what? You could be saved by the grace of God. You couldn't go out and join a church. You couldn't go out and be baptized. You couldn't give a whole lot of money, but I'll tell you what you could do. You could trust the Lord Jesus Christ and have a home in heaven by the grace of God. Now, let me encourage you. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. Do it now. If the Spirit of God is dealing with your heart, you say, when can I be saved, preacher? You can be saved now by believing with all of your heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. You're not good enough. You never are going to be, not to go to heaven. But he will save you by his grace. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commendeth. That word commendeth means shows. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the greatest news in the whole wide world. Now, I want to encourage you to listen in Sunday morning, this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. And we'll be creating a live event. We'd love for you to come back. Let's pray one for another, and let's pray through the comments and people that have commented. And I'd love for you just to say, hey, I was watching, and it's just a blessing to see the other names on there. And so thank you for taking time listening in. All right, you're going to be home by 8 o'clock. Isn't that a blessing? I tell you what, I'm going to pray before we close tonight. And let's just, wherever you are, let's just bow our heads and pray together and ask that the Lord would take the message and use it for his honor and for his glory. There might be some soul out there that sees their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to study your precious word together. And Lord, I see the names, the comments that have come up during the message. And Lord, you know each and every heart. You know those that are sick. You know those that have special needs. You know those that have financial needs or something along those lines. Father, we just look to you to help us during this time. Most of all, we pray for those that are lost. And we know, and through my mind right now, I can think of so many people that I know that need to be saved. Lord Jesus, would you touch their hearts and touch their lives? And help us as Christians to be the witness that we ought to be. Lord, help our world, heal our people, our nation, give our leaders wisdom, be with the pastors, be with the missionaries. Every missionary I know has been affected in some way by the virus and what's going on in wherever, which part of the world they're in. Be with them in a special way, especially those that are away from family and friends. And maybe they feel like they're out there all alone. Lord, let them know you're there with them. And so thank you for the word of God. Keep us safe. And thank you for this outlet, this opportunity that we can still get together somewhat and feel your Holy Spirit and be ministered to by the word of God. And so thank you. Thank you so much. And we pray that we'd be able to come together again very soon. We ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Thank you so much for listening and thank you for watching. Remember the podcast. And if you'd like to sign up for the daily devotional, podbean.com. I'll post that again here on Facebook Live. It is so easy to do. If I can do it, anybody can do it. And I just felt the Lord lead me to do that and have a daily devotional. It's published every morning, Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. And so you go to podbean.com, download that app to your phone, search Blessings of Liberty, and you can sign up, subscribe to that, and you'll get the daily devotion every morning at 6 a.m., Monday through Friday. And we're doing that out of Psalms chapter number 23. All right, I think that was it. Announcements, things of that nature. Hope you have a great rest of the week, and God bless you is my prayer.